Hey everyone, this is Eric, and you're listening to the SideQuesting Podcast. My guest today is my cousin Mike Stranzik from the band Rematch. We sit down with him to talk about the band's latest EP, their latest single, music videos, and the challenges of writing music in the middle of a global pandemic. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving a like, rating, or review. It really helps us out and helps more people find us. Thanks, and enjoy the show. Let me know when you're good if you need to take a swig of caffeination real quick.
I'm good.
I can understand. I'm just assuming
you're ready.
I'm just assuming you probably woke up like 10 minutes ago and it was just like coffee.
So no, I've been up for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I've just been chilling. So
okay. Well, awesome, man. I really appreciate you joining me. This is something I've been wanting to do for a while, and I knew as soon as I wanted to do this, I was like, oh, well, obviously I'm gonna have the most famous person I know on the podcast. And it's like, oh, it's like pretty cool to have a famous person in your family. It's pretty convenient. So, cause you know,
at least for now,
in that so much that you're famous or so much that you're in the family?
No, no, the most famous person, you know, for now, when this takes off, like I can't hold a candle to like Pauly Shore or like Carrot Top or someone like that, you know?
Listen, I don't know, and I don't know if anyone can. Carrot Top, especially being near and dear to my heart, is being on the redhead Mount Rushmore of famous people, considering that there aren't that many of us. So, I mean,
yeah, I was gonna say, who else is on there?
I could probably name them all in one hand. So it's probably Carrot Top, right?
Yeah.
It's probably Shaun White, I would assume, the snowboard
okay,
guy.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
I think he counts, but I don't know if he still has the same color hair. Think I'm out.
Slim Pickens, you know.
Andy Dalton used to play quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, so he's up there. I mean, most redheads.
Like, do only guys count? Because like there's some like girls.
I feel like I'm really being sexist right now, so it's terrible. Yeah,
like Emma Stone or.
Definitely. I think so. She'd definitely count. Kirsten Dunst, did she used to be a redhead, or was she only redhead in Spider-Man?
I think maybe in Spider-Man. I think maybe she was blonde. I'm not entirely sure. What about like Prince Harry?
Yeah, I would guess.
He's a prince.
Yeah, but he's not like an actual prince. He's just like a figurehead prince. So I mean,
he's more of a prince than either of us.
True, and he probably has more money than me. So I mean, he's got that going for him, which is nice. So okay. Anyways, man, I appreciate you being on. I'm gonna try and like be a interviewer type person, so I really appreciate you coming on, and I'm hoping you're doing it because you want to and not just because you feel like you have a familial obligation to me.
No, I'm totally here out of obligation.
You're just like, ah, fuck this guy. You know, it's like whenever I just call up when I come over to your house, just like, yeah, I guess.
No, I absolutely wanted to do this. Right when you told me you're starting a podcast, I was like, I gotta be one of the first guests.
You are the first guest, the very first, so I mean, You always have that now, no matter what else happens to you in life. No one can take that away from you.
Yeah.
Unless we get shut down and I start a new podcast, and then it's like, I'd probably just have you on again first, though, anyways. So
we'll just rename this episode and just re-air it.
Perpetually upload it.
It's like not even going to make sense in 2022, like any of the topics we talk about.
They'll be listening to it. They'll be like, oh, the first pandemic started, but what about the additional four that we've had since
then? Yeah, it's weird that they've only talked about the first pandemic.
Right. What about COVID-20? I mean, that's what we're looking for.
They're only talking about Trump's first term, not his consecutive three right. more.
Right. Honestly, the way this year has gone by itself, this year has been like a time warp anyways. So, I mean, this could have been 1 year. It could have been 30 years as far as I know. So,
yeah. I mean, I lost track of time completely.
I mean, it seems like another lifetime ago that we were at your guys's premiere show back in February.
Oh, I know. That feels like forever ago.
Like everything was still open. Everyone was like packed in super close with each other. We were all hanging out, drinking, having a good time. And like shortly after that, it kind of all hit the fan and we were like, wow, that was kind of crazy. Like just 2 weeks ago, we were all at your show.
Yeah. Well, I drove Steven my brother down. I mean, you know that, but anyone who listens probably doesn't know that Steven's my brother. He moved to Colorado, and the week after we rematched at our release show, we drove him to Colorado, and when we went to fly back, like, everyone at the airport was wearing masks, and like, we kind of knew what was going on, but like, at the time it wasn't like really as big of a thing, right? Like, people weren't freaking out as much, like, nothing was closed down yet,
right?
And like, so we're like, what is going on? And then like, we were looking online and like on our phones and stuff, and it was like, oh yeah, COVID pandemic, like, things are going to be shutting down. You know, we were a little worried we weren't even going to get out of there, because like, they're talking about canceling flights and stuff.
Oh, so you guys could have potentially gotten like stuck in Colorado.
Yeah, I would have just had to like restart my life.
It's like, it's just all of a sudden, you just go off the grid. I haven't heard from you in like 10 years. And yeah, like, all of a sudden, there's like reports of like a man being spotted in the mountains. And you're just like, yeah, this is my life now. I just went to live a life in the mountains.
Yeah, just a humble life, yeah.
Yeah. And just like, they're like, we don't know if it's Sasquatch. Like, we don't know if it's Mike from Rematch. We're not 100% sure.
Two of the rarest sightings you could see.
Sasquatch and then Mike from Rematch in that order.
Yeah, exactly. Followed closely by the Loch Ness Monster.
It's like, we're on day 37 watch in front of Mike's house. He has not reemerged yet. It's just like, go away. Leave me alone.
We see streaming RGB colors out of his window. That's all we can see.
That's the only sign of life that we have. And like, Anna comes out and they're like, Anna, any news on Mike? Like, how's he doing? And she's just like, I don't know. I haven't even seen him in like 37 days. So
you guys saw him more recent than I have.
That's crazy. So, okay. Yeah. I'd like to talk about a little bit about, kind of your guys's, the EP you guys put out back in February and kind of the stuff you've been doing since then, because it's kind of a crazy year to release, kind of your guys's, so not your debut EP, but, probably your guys's biggest launch to date. And, and then just for you to have that awesome show that it was great kickoff show, by the way, that was awesome. And
yeah, that was really, honestly, that was like overwhelming is the best way to put it. Like, we weren't expecting the turnout, and like, we released the song, like, we released the EP. I think we had two singles out, and then we released the rest of the songs like the day before. And like, people already knew the words to like the new stuff that we released like the day before. It was pretty crazy.
We were ready. I was like, anytime I was driving, I was listening to it nonstop just so I could know all the words so I could sing along. It was pretty awesome. So that must have been pretty crazy, because I'm assuming you guys had tons of plans to support the EP and do a tour and do all this kind of stuff, and then everything kind of ground to a halt for a while. So how did that really affect you guys and affect what you guys wanted to do in supporting your EP?
So like, after the release show, we felt like we had a lot of momentum. We were ready to go out and play a bunch, and we had some tours planned and booked, more so in like the summertime, because we released at the end of February. So we were waiting until about summer, but like, we had a lot of plans to, you know, get out there and support the album with a bunch of shows. And like I said, it was like maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks afterwards, like, things started shutting down. So like, we were kind of playing it by ear. We had a couple shows booked that were like, hey, like, we think things are going to clear up in like 5 or 6 months, so let's keep these booked. But those ended up not happening, you know. And so like, it really kills the motivation to like want to do things, because you know you can't play shows and you can't like support this record. So like, we've just been putting a lot of effort into like our online presence and like into like streaming services and stuff like that, just, you know, trying to let people know we still exist, and when things open back up, we are going to be playing shows and touring.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was going to follow you up with. You know, when it looks like probably things will be better, they're starting to get better, you know, start of next year, a little bit later next year. So you guys have kind of a plan in place to go on a new tour? Have you kind of discussed that at all? Or,
I mean, we know what's going to happen. We just haven't booked anything because we don't know when things will open. Like, we'd hate to book a bunch of stuff and then have to cancel it all again, because like, you know, the world's not ready for shows yet. And so right now we're just working on new music. Lost wants us to put out a full length next year, so there's a chance that we might have a bunch of new songs out before we even play more shows, which is kind of a bummer because we're really proud of the EP we put out, but we're excited about the new music we're writing too.
So, yeah, I remember when you when I talked to you about it earlier this year, you said that really when you release something like that new and you want a tour to support it, you really want to play those songs live until you kind of like get tired of playing those songs live.
Yeah.
And you guys aren't really going to have a chance to do that because it sounds like just with your guys' record deal and stuff, they want you to try and do a full length next year. So unless you just do two like tours back to back and just do a really long tour. Which would be pretty wild.
I mean, like we'll probably be ready to pull out songs. Like if someone's like, "Hey, can you guys play this tonight?" You know, we'll be ready to play like some of the songs off of, EPs and stuff like that. But yeah, we're not going to be able to play all the new songs live that we would like to. Just because, like I said, we already released another single in October. So we're looking. In spring, we're going to have a couple more songs out, maybe acoustic versions of some songs that we've already put out.
Ooh.
You know, just to keep things rolling out so people know we're still around, we're still alive. You know, so hopefully after the holidays, we'll have some more new material and because we're working on it. It's just, it's hard. It feels like we're like almost ripping ourselves off by not getting to play shows on the Do It All Again EP.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I was, you know, but, you know, the new single, by the way, Words That Rhyme With Liar, that was awesome. You guys released that like last month, right? Or
end of October. Yeah.
Yeah. With the supporting music video. So kind of talk to me. What was it like putting that together kind of during the pandemic? And because you guys even released a music video with that. So what was that kind of process like with everything that was going on?
So we had split, like early in the pandemic, we had split with our guitarist, Charlie. You know, we just kind of didn't really see, like the moving forward, we were on different pages on like what we wanted to do musically. And so he decided to step away and focus on doing his own thing. And right away, we kind of knew that we wanted Noah. He played with me in the Fight Night, and he's just been one of my good friends for a long time. He helped me work on Rematch songs even before he was in the band. We were like, okay, he's going to be the guy that comes in. So me and him, we'd still, we were pretty much in each other's circle still for like, you know, people we see and staying safe with COVID. So like me and him would work together on songs. And this was one of the, he had an idea. He had like the intro for this written out with vocals, and we were like, okay, this is cool. So me and him kind of worked out the instrumental and then sent it to Alex, and Alex wrote some vocals for it. And then we had sent it to Sammy from Waster, and he chimed in with a couple ideas too. And then basically everyone came over separately and tracked their parts at my house. Alex came over one day and laid down all the vocals. Josh came over one day and laid down bass. Me and Noah had already finished the guitar tracking, and then we just did program drums. We didn't even track real drums for that song, just because it's hard with the pandemic and everything. And then we were able to send that out to Seb Barlow from Neck Deep. He produced, recorded, mixed, mastered the Do It All Again EP. So we sent this track to him and he mixed and mastered it for us. And, so it was weird. Like it felt really, isolated, like, because like usually we work on stuff, we're all in the same room throwing ideas out and stuff, and that it wasn't really like that experience. It was really like shooting like Dropbox links and Google Drive links back and forth, like, hey, what do you think of this idea? And then like someone might take like a week to respond, just to get like a song done, you know.
You wouldn't even know that based on how well the song came together, that, you know, everyone kind of, you guys essentially had to do what everyone else has kind of been doing this whole year, is kind of working remotely and just having like one person come over just to make sure everyone's good. So
yeah.
But it came together really well. So that kind of is a nice segue into my next question. I want to go back in time and talk about the Do It All Again EP. So when you guys went to write that album or write that EP, you guys actually flew over to the UK, and you stayed with Sammy from Waster and worked in the studio with Seb from Neck Deep. You know, that had to have been pretty crazy because, you know, we've both listened to those bands for a long time. So that must have been a crazy experience for you and the guys to actually go over there and record and with those guys. So can you just kind of tell me like what that was kind of like?
Yeah. So like we were, I was actually at work one day and our first EP, Broken Steps, that wasn't out for very long at the time. And we got a message on Facebook and it was Seb and he's like, hey, I stumbled across you guys on Bandcamp and I really like your guys' sound. If you ever want to work together, let me know. And at the time we were like, okay, we could possibly send them tracks for mix and master or whatever. We don't really know what we're doing as far as a new EP goes, but we'll keep them in mind for mixing and mastering when we go down the road. And then, we kind of touched base with them and it really wasn't that much more expensive for us to go out there and record with them than it was to just have them mix and master it, outside from flights and stuff, which weren't really that bad. And then staying with Sammy, he was nice enough. He was going to come in and like co-produce the EP and he was nice enough to let us stay at his house and that saved us a lot of money too. So it was really cool. Like some of the nicest guys we ever met, you know, just like, it was a little, overwhelming being in the studio with like people that like you look up to, you know, but it was really, really cool. And the songs turned out great. Writing for it, like we changed a lot of vocals like when we got to the UK.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like a lot of the instrumentals stayed pretty much the same with like some rearranging on some songs and like adding some leads here and like putting like some finishing touches on the instrumentals. But like, I think almost every song, the vocals changed like at least 90% to 100% different.
Yeah, I was going to say, you, I was sitting in the studio with you one time I came over and you showed me like an early cut of Live a Little. And that was, like you said, the instrumentals and a lot of the same melodies and stuff were similar. But in regards to like the vocals and how the singing kind of went, that really drastically changed from when you guys originally did that to when you, you know, put the final mix together. So
yeah, it's like a completely different song. You know, when we were tracking vocals, or tracking instruments, I should say, Alex had a lot of time to sit down with Sammy and like talk about vocal ideas and like kind of go back and forth and like rearrange stuff. And like that's just kind of what ended up happening is like while we were doing the instrumental recording, they really kind of fleshed out a bunch of vocal ideas. And when we started laying them down, we're like, okay, yeah, this is way cooler than what we came with.
That's awesome. So where would you say, so compared to when you guys were writing Words That Rhyme With Liar, what was that experience like being able to like be all in the studio together? How does that differ versus how you guys, you know, produce your newest single?
I mean, like I said, like when we're all together, it's like there's just a different energy. Like there's a lot of creative minds in the same room and like you're getting real time response and real time feedback on your ideas. You're not like sending like a link and then waiting till someone gets off work or waiting for someone to check it out and like get back to you. So like I feel like the songs that Do It All Again, there's a lot more chemistry, I feel, in the writing. I love the way Words came out, but it feels like there's things that like looking back, like I would have liked to add or do a little different. But you know, it's hard without like the real time feedback. And like when things are already tracked, it's like, oh, do we go back and fix it now that like we have different ideas, or do we just send it as is? And, you know, we're happy with it, even though it's not exactly what we wanted.
Right. And so for someone like me, I've actually never, ever set foot inside a recording studio at all. So when you're starting the process of a song, like what's the general process? Like, what do you do first? Do you lay down guitars first? Do you lay down drums first? Is there like a general order you guys kind of like to do things, or is it just kind of like evolve naturally as you're writing and recording the song?
So it differs from band to band how they like to do it. I usually have like a instrumental demo idea. Like, I don't know if it'll be either a riff that I came up with just like messing around playing guitar. I'll be like, oh, this is a cool riff, and I'll throw drums to it and I'll start adding on to it as I go, like a guitar part, then put drums to it, guitar part, then put drums to it. But as far as recording goes, we've done digital drums on all of our releases. We've talked about doing real drums every time, but it just never happened, either because we didn't have a drummer at the time, or like when we were in the UK, it would have been really expensive to track real drums while we were out there. And we were pressed for time already. But the way I actually like recording is I like recording to to programmed like MIDI fake drums, and then going back after everything's finished, recording the real drums if we decide to record real drums. So the way I'd like to do it is guitars, bass, to the programmed drums, and then vocals, and then at the end go back and track the real drums, just because a lot of recording studios and a lot of places, they track drums first. But I feel like when you're writing vocals, it's really easy to, or recording vocals, it's really easy to have an idea and be like, oh, we should do this. But then like the guitars and the drums don't match it. And it's really easy just to punch in a guitar part, but to set up and re-mic all the drums to change an idea is a lot harder. So I feel like tracking drums last is, it's the easiest way to, you know, be really happy with your final product and like be able to change things on the fly if you need to.
Right. It's probably, and not that this is all a consideration, but it's probably, like you said, a lot more financially sound too, because like you said, every additional time you have to set up and, you know, retrack drums probably costs you guys, you know, more studio time. And
yeah, exactly.
It's really just smarter, especially if you're kind of on a budget to kind of do that last. So that makes a lot of sense. That's super interesting. So Rematch is your latest musical band project that you've been working on. How would you say that Rematch compares with all of your, you know, earlier prior musical projects? Because, you know, you've been in bands writing, playing music since what, 18, at least 18? That's probably earlier, 16?
16 was like probably the first show I played. Yeah. I was in a band and it was not great. It was like a metalcore band. And I think we only played two shows. It was fun, but it didn't last very long.
Right.
And then like, you know, and like throughout high school, like I always jammed with people. And then my first like project that like we played a lot and we were together for a while was The Fight Night. And that was like kind of like all my creation. Like I'd write everything for that. Like the guitars, a lot of the drum ideas, like our drummer at the time, Drew, he would take my ideas and put his little twist on it. But like, it was a lot of my basis. And then, John would write all the vocals. So like between me and John is like, we're the primary songwriters. Like I just give him an instrumental and then he'd write all the vocals and then the song was done. So there wasn't as much, collaboration as Rematch. Rematch, there's a lot of like different voices and different ideas being thrown out and like worked on together. And it's a lot less like, hey, this is the song, this is what you guys are playing, and this is what we're doing. You know, like I basically gave them a finished product and that's what like we played and did, versus collaborating and writing together. Rematch also, like, just from the business end of it, like, was, you know, The Fight Night started when I was in high school. So it's a lot less hard to like be like a more run like a business than just like guys playing music together. So like, from the get-go, Rematch kind of had a game plan as far as like what we wanted to do business-wide and how we wanted to present ourselves and play shows, and like a plan for like marketing ourselves and getting music out there and everything else. So
I mean, really all they had to do to market themselves was you could just come out and be like, yo, I'm Mike Stranzik, I'm a Rematch. And then we'd be like, oh shit, Mike Stranzik. Like,
yeah, I mean, honestly, there was a lot of, everyone in Rematch came from other bands. So like when like it kind of got out that like this was a project, like there was a lot of people that, that we knew members of the band and were like, okay, this is going to be super cool. Like all these guys working together.
Right. Cause you had worked with, Josh had played with you before, obviously.
Yeah. Josh was in The Fight Night, and I knew Alex from playing in shows, and I knew Charlie for a long time when we started. And, our first drummer at the time, Jake, he's just like an insane drummer. And I knew him from like playing in different bands and stuff. And, so like everything came together and it was like super cool. But like, yeah, I mean, the main thing though is like we had a logo and we had like a vision as far as like how we wanted to be perceived by people. And we, like, before we even released the song, we had a music video shot, and like I had never done a music video with The Fight Night in all the years that we were doing it. So it's like we already had these like things in place and these ideas structured and ready to go. It wasn't like, oh, we recorded a song, let's just put it out. Like, we already had an EP finished, like, before we even announced that Rematch was a thing. So, like, it was just a lot more structured than any of the bands that I've ever been in.
Yeah, I would say, too, Rematch is, it's kind of like a culmination of all your experience to date, because, you know, you were right. the Fight Night was, you know, like a high school, younger you project. And you, as you grew and understood more about what the business side of that is, you know, it's kind of this thing that already exists. Whereas like with Rematch, you were able to, all right, we're going to launch fresh. And like, this is what we need to do to be in a good spot, like when we launch. And that really shows. It's been pretty remarkable so far. Like when you showed me your guys' Spotify rap for the year, all the different listens that you guys had to, people in like 93 countries had listened to you. And I was like, wow, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I'm really excited about the growth we had this year, like especially not being able to play shows. Really, it was remarkable that we reached so many new people just from, like, you know, people finding us online since we weren't gigging at all. And you're exactly right. It's like I took all my prior experience and everything I knew and went into Rematch, and I was like, hey, this is like what we want to do going into this. We don't want to rush anything. We don't want to play shows just to play shows. We want to have some merch ready. We want to have a music video. We want to have a plan for like the next 6 months. Like, this is what our plan is to get out there. And even our first EP, like we got some really cool stuff off our first EP. Like, we opened for Every Avenue at the Bottom Lounge, which was sold out. That was super cool.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we got some really good shows and stuff right off the bat. And that's kind of what I think, like, all those steps is what led to us going to the UK and which led to us getting to the point we're at now. So, yeah, I'm really thankful for all the like work everyone in the band put in and, you know, getting to where we're at just today even.
Yeah. And it's been awesome to see the results because the music's incredible. I mean, the show, the launch EP was absolutely incredible. That was, I've been to quite a few shows, even big arena shows, and like that show was like some of the most fun I've ever had at a concert ever. Like, it was so awesome.
The energy in that room was like, it was different. It was special. It was really cool.
Just to see like everybody you knew there that was there for you guys, you know, even my parents and our aunt and uncle came out and they're like, oh, what's this going to be like? And they'd never been to like a kind of a smaller venue show like that before. Yeah. I'm like, this is going to be completely different than anything you guys have ever seen before. And just kind of see, you know, everyone's kind of parents and families there and you know, everyone's friends and even people that didn't know you guys that were there. That was really awesome feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like I said, just like the energy in that room was like really special for us. Like, there was a lot of people there and it was like, you know, they were there because they wanted to support us and see, you know, the culmination of all of the work we had put in for this album and everything else. So it was really just a special experience for us.
Can you kind of key us in? I know we kind of talked about it a little bit at the top of the show. You said, you know, you guys are planning to do a full length. But just kind of, if everything kind of calms down this year, like, what can we expect the next year or so? Like, what are you guys' next steps with Lost? And you just talk about that for a little bit.
Okay, yeah. So the guys at Lost, Vinny and Eric, they're awesome. They like I said, they want us to do a full length, so that's kind of what we're working on. We have a couple songs ready, and I think we're gonna be putting out singles throughout the year, and then like once we have a handful of singles out, we'll put out a full length, which will have all those singles on it. So we're probably gonna have music videos and everything else, but really we want to get to touring as soon as everything opens up and is safe. You know, cause we had plans, we were going to be going up through Canada, going down through the East Coast, across the Midwest, you know, we were going to be all over this past year, but obviously none of that happened. So we have a lot of people that hit us up like, hey, you should come here. And we want to get out to the people and, you know, get some shows. So like, ideally we'll be touring. And yeah, a lot of new music. We'll probably double our catalog of music this year, just because we have like what, 12 songs released now, 13 songs maybe is what we've released so far. And, you know, doing another full length, that'll put us over 20. So expect a lot of new music, shows as soon as it's safe. Like, once we're confident and safe to play shows, we're going to start gigging again right away. And then just like random things, like we've been talking to a lot of people about doing what we're doing, podcasts and just like different content, like, and being out there. And as a band, we've talked about streaming video games or just even just chattings, just to interact with like people and be able to talk to people. Cause it's hard not being able to be out there and playing shows.
Definitely. And I think what my master plan is, so as soon as you guys put that together, I want you to provide me like a list of like exactly where you guys are going. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to do kind of like Jimmy Buffett style. I'm going to get a bunch of people together and we're going to build floats and we're just going to like follow you guys everywhere in like a caravan. And we'll just like all dress exactly the same. So that way when you show up to like a city, you'll just have like hundreds of people that are dressed exactly the same, like show up and the news will just be like, what the fuck is going on here? Like
they're going to be like, all right, guys, if anyone offers you Kool-Aid, don't drink it.
Like, Rematch the Band is in town. It's like, is it Rematch the Band or Rematch the Cult? It's like, what's the difference? Yeah. I mean, honestly. So I think that's definitely a plan. And then like, well, yeah, we'll just build like our floats or like little like taco trucks, like on the side of the street, like in front of the venue where it is. It'll just be like a whole festival feeling. We'll just call it Rematch Fest. We'll build like some kind of giant structure in the park and like burn it, kind of like Burning Man. Maybe
it'll be like I don't know what's really representative of Rematch. I was trying to think of like something that represents us that we could build up and then burn down.
I remember one of your favorite marketing strategies back when you just were discussing it with me with the fight night is you just want, I believe we talked about running into just a crowded space and just right before you punch a guy, just yell the fight night and just start a huge brawl. And then the news would just be like, Man Screams fight night starts a huge brawl. And then it's like, well, yeah, but then everyone's going to be like, what's the fight night? And then step through four, profit.
Yeah, exactly. if we did that, it would have been perfect if for now, because then I could go in and yell rematch, and it would be like a perfect throwback to the fight night.
Right, and they'd just be like, wait, we've seen this before. This seems awfully familiar.
Yeah.
I like it.
Luckily, we have like a really good team to handle the marketing idea, so I don't have to assault random citizens.
Yeah, that's honestly, that's a really good point. I mean, maybe in our younger years when we could have gotten away with it, but, getting up there a little bit now, adulting and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I mean, 2020 doesn't count. This whole year doesn't count. So
We get a redo.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll talk with whoever we meet after we die. Be like, hey. Think you owe us one.
Yeah, we get one more year. Send us back down. For me, send me back up. But yeah.
One of my favorite things about you is honestly the crazy schemes you come up with. Like it's honestly one of my favorite things. If you weren't doing the rematch, you could easily run like a PR firm to just generate buzz. Can I tell one of my favorite stories?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I don't remember exactly when it happened. I think we were sitting at like a family party or something, and we were just like telling stupid jokes or whatever we were doing. This is a while ago, and you just looked at me with like the most dead serious face, and you were like, hey, I'm going to buy a Wonder Bread truck, and I'm going to replace the O with the German U with the umlaut above it, and I'm going to call it the Wunder Bread truck, and we're just going to drive around. And I just looked at you, and I'm like, oh my God, that's incredible. I mean, and I was like, what will we do? And you're just like, I don't know. We're just going to have the Wunderbread truck and drive around. I'm like, oh, okay.
Do whatever we want.
Right. Clearly. And I don't know why that just always stuck with me. I don't know why. It's just,
I think one of our favorite plans or schemes we came up with is we do a Christmas time. We do a funny, gag gift, like white elephant trading thing, and we were talking and we're like, oh, like people always pick up the gifts and like shake the box to try and figure out what's in there, and we'd be like, we should just get like bees, like a box full of bees, so they'd be picking up and they shake and they're like, this box is buzzing, and
right,
and then they would turn around and they'd see us all in the beekeeper suits, but then my girlfriend Anna, she's like, yeah, but how would that help? And we're like, what? And then we realized she thought we were talking about bee costumes, like being dressed up as bees. So all of us would have showed up in beekeeper suits and she would have been sitting there in a bee costume. And when they opened the box of bees, like it would just swarm to everybody.
And then I think we looked up later, we found like a janky website where you could buy bees in bulk.
Yeah, and they
would ship them. They would like ship them to your house.
I think it was for like beekeepers, right? Like people who want to have like hives or whatever. But you could definitely buy them in bulk.
And then I believe the conversation that follows is like, well, what if the company that sent you bees in bulk like messed up and accidentally sent like wasps? And wasps are like way worse because they're just bees but jackasses.
Yeah, they're bees so. With nothing to lose.
So now I think it's like whenever we're joking, we're just like, oh, we're gonna send that person bees, and it just comes up every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, so. Like I feel like it's just a great response to anything is just to send them bees. I mean, you might want to figure out if they're allergic or not for maybe not. I don't know.
That'd be important. Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you guys have like a P.O. box or anything where people can send a Green Match fan mail or anything?
No, it's actually super dangerous. I put my home address on all the packages I send.
Oh, so anyone that like potentially listens to this in the future could just be like, well, we're going to send Mike bees.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. And all you have to do is you have to buy a $15 t-shirt and you'll have access to my home address.
Oh, that's a small price to pay. Like one day you're just going to walk out on your porch and there's going to be like 40 buzzing boxes. And you're just going to be like, oh,
I'm just going to walk right back inside.
just leave it.
Anna, get your bee costume.
Yeah, come back out here, please. We have a serious problem. So, okay, well, that's cool, man. And we're super happy. Everyone is with the success that Rematch has had. And we're all the songs you guys put out are super catchy, super awesome. I just want to jam them all the time. But then my boss yells at me and tells me to turn the music down and get back to work. I appreciate you talking about that. Since this is a gaming podcast, I'd like to talk a little bit about gaming.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you don't mind, if you want
to. I prefer gaming over music anyway, so.
Oh, yeah. So, for sure. You've been playing League for probably longer than I've committed to playing anything ever. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I think I started in like season 3 and we're about to be on season 11, I believe.
So is it like every season's a year pretty
much? Yeah, basically every season's a year.
So you started playing League 8 years ago.
Yeah, basically.
Do you remember the first League match you ever played?
Yeah, it was a bots game, you know, because the first couple levels that you play League, you have to play against bots. My brother Steven at the time, like I was all in on World of Warcraft and
hell yeah.
My brother Steven was like, oh, you know, you need to try League. And then finally he showed me like one of the champs. He's like, I think you'd like this champ a lot. And I saw in the game plan, I'm like, that does look super fun. I'm gonna download it. I'll give it a try. So I downloaded it and they give you a free rotation of champions to try. And he wasn't one of them. So I just like immediately busted out the credit card and like spent real money to buy this champ.
So I'm going to buy all of it.
So I bought the champ and I ended up maining that champ for years and years and years, being like a one trick and just playing champ. His name's Fizz. And the first match, like, you know, it's kind of embarrassing to lose to bots, but like there's so much going on in the game. You don't understand at first that you're like, okay, you know, you kind of have to lose to bots to just learn. So I definitely lost my first match. The first PvP match I played, I lost as well, but it was almost nerve wracking to play against like real people instead of bots.
Right. And especially because you're like, oh, these real people actually probably know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And a funny story is like my friend Cameron started playing maybe like 2 or 3 weeks before I started playing. And he had gotten really mad while he was playing the game and he punched his laptop screen and broke it.
Oof.
And then my brother Steven went and looked up his batch history and he was playing against bots. So he was so angry playing against the bots that he broke his laptop screen.
Oh no.
So it wasn't even real people.
And yeah. Oh, wow. So you've always told me, too, that whenever you play League, you're like, I just kind of ask you, I'm like, oh, Mike, why do you play League? And it's like with a straight face, just like, oh, I really hate myself.
Yeah. I mean, the community is super toxic and, you know, it could be a really frustrating game. But I'll be honest with you, it is really rewarding when like you play super well or you have a good team. And I'm actually part of I mod a Discord that is just like a super good community. Everyone in the community is super nice and not toxic and super welcoming. And really, like, they put together in-house games and tournaments and everything else. So it's really good. It's called League of Legends Midwest. And all the people in that community are just amazing. And it almost gives me hope that there's like good people that play this game.
Right. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that's really great, because when you find a good community of people, even in a game that's so toxic, or that has, you know, every game has toxic tendencies, but when you find a group of good people, you know, that just makes it much more enjoyable. And I think you hit the nail on the head too. Just kind of the technical skill it takes to play the game, and just, you know, at first you're losing, but then it kind of all starts to come together and you get better. And, you know, that's a really rewarding feeling.
And, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so, like you said, you've been playing for a long time. So that's 8 seasons, right?
Yeah.
So yep. About 8 years. What's the highest rank you've ever gotten to?
Diamond 3, which is like less than 1% of the player base.
Damn, that's really good.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like I could climb pretty high if I just put all my focus into just League, right? But between the music and work and everything else, it's a little hard to, you know, spam climb and stay as relevant. Cause like, even if you take a couple days off of playing, like you feel rusty. Like when you're playing against people that are that good, you're like, okay, like I'm definitely not on my game right now, cause I haven't played in a few days.
Right. But I mean, Diamond 3 is not bad for somebody that has so much else going on. So I mean, for,
oh that, no, that, I'm that's super happy good. With that.
How many more ranks are there above that?
So it would be Diamond 2, Diamond 1. And then you go into, a tier that's called Master, Grandmaster, and Challenger, which is like the top, like I think 2,000, 1,000, and then 200 players.
Oh wow! So maybe one day in the future, if you get a bunch of time, you should just go for it. I think you should.
Like quit my job.
Yeah, 100%. Just be, and then they'd really be like, "Oh, we haven't seen Mike in like 40 days." What's he doing? He's just playing League. Don't worry about it.
It's been 80 years.
And you just come out, you're like, wait, like, you're like, what year is it? I'm like, Mike, it's 2090. Like, you've been gone for that long.
Worse.
You know, just because you're inside playing League, you're the last survivor of the human race.
Yeah, like, I beat all of the pandemics.
You just win League of Legends.
I mean, it's rank one. Granted, I was the only person to play.
Right. At least until League of Legends 2 comes out.
Yeah.
You know, the sequel. So,
I mean, maybe it's coming. There's a Riot is coming out with a whole bunch of games.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about that, too. You know, they've really been doing a lot to kind of differentiate their offerings. Like, they've had Just League for so long. But obviously, the last couple of years, they did, you know, Legends of Runeterra. They just did Valorant, which Valorant seems like it's going to be a really awesome esport. I watched the First Strike finals. Super entertaining. So, you know, do you like what Riot's doing when kind of releasing these other things? Are you excited for, like, they just showed some gameplay for Ruined King at the Game Awards?
Yeah, I think it's super cool.
That looks awesome. Because someone like me doesn't really know. I know League has a really deep backstory and kind of lore to it. So I think that'd be really awesome if they're going to tap into that and make more offerings for people that, you know, don't play League or, you know, don't play Valorant or just don't play competitive shooters or competitive MOBAs.
Yeah. Yeah. So like they focused on League for about 10 years, right? Like they, that was like their only game was League. And then, they came out and like said like, hey, we're doing a shooter. We're doing a card game. We're doing, like an RPG. Like we're doing a whole bunch of different games. They have a auto chess. So like their Teamfight Tactics game, they're doing a mobile game. And I think like they played it smart is because what they did it, as far as I can tell, is they waited for like Hearthstone to kind of like do its thing and mess up a few times and figure out like what works. And then they're like, all right, now we do Legends of Runeterra and we just do everything they did right and none of the wrong stuff. And then, you know, Valorant is a lot like Overwatch meets Counter-Strike, right? It's neither game, but it has elements from both the games. So they just kind of saw what was working for those games and combined it and put it together. So I think that it's really cool that they're expanding. And like you said, the universe is super big as far as like the lore in League of Legends. Like just the different places and characters, and they're going to definitely be expanding on that more and more. And you already see some crossover from the different games. I think there's going to be a lot more of that too, though.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with that too. I was, yeah, as the announcements are coming in and they are putting stuff out, I was like, wow, there really are kind of, you know, they got League to such a good place where it's, you know, makes them so much money and it's the most watched esport in the world year after year, that then they turned and were like, okay, like Blizzard and all their competitors are doing all these things, like how can we do them better? And so, yeah, they came out with Runeterra, they came out with Valorant. You know, now they're doing the single player offering Ruined King, and you know, one of the Riot employees casually announced last night on Twitter that they're launching a League MMO,
which I'm excited for. That's going to be super cool.
And I just, like, you know, for a company as big as League, like for the way for it to get announced is some guy on Twitter is like, yeah, we're looking for employees. And someone's like, is it an MMO? And he's just like, yeah. And that's the way it got announced.
Yeah.
And, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But I think that'll be sweet, especially from, you know, some of the stuff I've read about the lore. I think they can make something that's super compelling in an MMO. And really, it seems like they're going up to not like Mirror Blizzard, but all these things can pretty much compete with Blizzard in every one of their categories that they have something for.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they're going above and beyond with different things like a mobile game and some of the other things that they're working on. Like, I know at the anniversary thing they had last year, they showed gameplay of a Diablo style game too. So I mean, I think the only thing that you're really missing is an RTS game, which I mean, like, I guess in a way the auto chess is an RTS of some sort, but not really, not the same thing as like StarCraft.
So I've seen something in the vein of like, yeah, StarCraft or Warcraft or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I still think like even this year, like mobile games was like the most profitable gaming source of all gaming, like out of everything, like PC games.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised, especially because, you know, every year it seems like the prize pools for, you know, LCS and the Dota championships get bigger and bigger. So I mean, yeah, they've obviously found something that really works and it's brought it in the mainstream, which is awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, like even like for players and stuff, it's like, so you have two of the biggest contracts in North America that ever happened this year. I think it was 2.5 and 3 million a year for these two players, respectively.
That's insane.
Yeah, and that's just their pay. That doesn't count like if they win anything or like their endorsements or anything like that. That's just for them to come play.
I mean, you're starting to look at pro athlete numbers there. I mean, middling level hockey players I know make like 3 to 5 million a year. So, yeah. I mean, we're breaching professional sports levels now, which is, man, 10 years ago, that was crazy to think about, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, like 10 years ago, if you won $2,000 playing a video game, you were stoked, right? Like,
right. And it just used to be like all these kind of like local tournaments and stuff that kind of happened, you know, in convention centers or whatever. And now it's like people are going to arenas, which you've been to a LCS match before, haven't you?
Yeah, I've gone to a handful of them.
What's that experience like? I've never been to a live esports event like that. So
it's super cool. it's so much fun. Like, just like the fact that like it's like the camaraderie of sports. And I was never really big into sports. So like just the camaraderie that's there, it's like, you know, I understand like going to a sporting event now is like because of that. And there's just like so much energy and like everything going on is so electrifying, really. And you know, the last event I went to was super cool. They gave everyone like these little light up bracelets, so for like when like someone got dragon, let's say it was the infernal drake, which is like the red drake, like the whole stadium would start flashing red because everyone had these bracelets on.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they
awesome.
Had like projectors on the floor, like doing animations and stuff. It was super cool.
That's insane. That'd be like if, you know, they at basketball games, they gave everybody like a light up bracelet that when somebody got a 3-pointer, like it went off or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That's super crazy.
And it's super cool. Like it wouldn't just be like they would just like flash. It would like do things like a wave. Like so the whole stadium would start at one spot and it would like wave around the entire stadium. Or, like,
oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's amazing. I'm really happy it's gotten to that point. And then one of my favorite I'm assuming you went and saw TSM play, I assume, right?
Yeah, I've seen TSM play a handful of times.
Yeah. I know, didn't one of their guys, big guys, just retire?
Yeah, Bjergsen. He was their star player for a very long time. He's moving to their head coach position. They have two big players. They have Bjergsen and they have Double Lift. Bjergsen was like their org player. Like, he's been with them for a very long time. And then Double Lift was on the team and then jumped to another team and then came back. And both of them, like, two of the best players to play in North America, are both retiring this year.
And they're not that old, right? I mean, they're both younger than us still.
Yeah. They're definitely both younger than us. I think they're both probably like 25, 26, maybe 27.
Video games is a young man's game, Mike.
Yeah, I know.
We're getting too old. Although I do know the 100 Thieves Valorant team has a guy on there named Hiko, and he's 30 and he's still competing. So, I mean, that's like,
he's not like to say ancient.
In video game professional career, that's you know, people playing past 30 is kind of crazy. It's a young man's sport, so
I mean, like, Cloud9 just tried to sign a kid for their streaming team, and Riot didn't allow it to pass because he's only 14.
Really?
Yeah, he's a challenger player. He's in like the top 200, and they wanted him on the streaming team, and they're like, no, you have to wait until he's 15.
I'm assuming that has something to do with like child labor laws, right?
Yeah, probably.
Just like get strapped into a chair and be like, stream for 15 hours a day.
Well, they were talking like they wanted to be like a development deal. So hopefully, like, when he's old enough, I think you have to be 17 to play in the LCS. Like, they could try and put him in the LCS.
Couldn't they just do like a promise to commit thing though for like 1 year? Did they do something like that?
They did. They said like once he turns 15, we're definitely gonna sign him to a deal. Like, that's the plan moving forward.
Because they do that with like quarterbacks, and when they're coming on like out of eighth grade and stuff, like, you've read stories of quarterbacks committing to schools and they're like 12 years old and you're like, okay, ridiculous. So no, that's all. And then I think one of the events you were at, one of my favorite pictures you sent me, is you met Tyler One.
Yeah, that was actually it was in St. Louis. I went to an event in St. Louis, and yeah, Tyler One was there. He was just walking around and we bumped into him. And so his whole persona was like super toxic and like just like being like super over the top, like angry and mad. And he was like one of the nicest people we ever met. Like, he was so cool, down to earth, like happy to just like meet fans and stuff. It was really cool.
I remember you telling me that, because I've, you know, watched his streams before and his highlight videos, and he's a really like high energy dude that can get really loud and really angry sometimes. But you were like, nah, he's just like, he's secretly like just really the chillest dude of all time.
Yeah, so. He's super cool. And it's funny, he always tells people he's like, he's 6'3" or something like that, but he's like, he's probably like 5'6".
He's super short, but still a super jacked dude.
Yeah, he's super cool.
That's awesome. So I'm going to... We're going to enter what I'm calling affectionately the lightning round, just because I couldn't come up with a better name for it.
Okay.
So I'm just going to think of a bunch of stuff off the top of my head, and you just tell me the first answer that comes to your
mind.
Like
this or that? Yeah. Or like just the first answer? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Aside from League, favorite game of all time?
Final Fantasy IX, hands down.
Okay, yeah. You just secured the number one guest spot for all time, because that's true. You introduced me to that game, and that game's just incredible, hands down. So
yeah, we played it as kids all the time.
I'm pretty sure between you and me, we've probably got 20, 30, 40, 50 playthroughs of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny that I said a kid as if like when we were children, we were just one entity.
Right? It's just like, it's like one soul that's commanding two bodies.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have just outed us there, because they just discovered the whole shtick now. So
yeah. Well, oops, you're interviewing yourself. What a chump!
Right. The only way to defeat me is to say my name backwards. Seg Sire. I don't know. All right. So flip side, the game you hate the most, or least favorite game you've ever played.
Oh, I don't know. That's a hard one. Wow. Because I usually can tell if I'm going to like a game or not, you know, it'd have to be a shooter. It'd have to be like Counter-Strike or something. And not because it's a bad game. It's just because I'm bad at shooters, right? So, like, it's just unenjoyable for me. Like, maybe like PUBG, like, where you, like, drop in and, like, you
just die.
Well, you drop in and like you're like looting houses and running around for like 20 minutes and you have all this cool gear and then someone just shoots you in the head. Like, I didn't even shoot a gun the entire fucking game.
Right. That makes sense. I do remember when we used to play over some rounds of Overwatch that you were just like, oh, just shooters aren't my thing. And I was like, no, dude, I'm like, you got this. Like, you're really good. And for one round, we were all playing. I think you, me, and Steve were playing and maybe Emily and Anna. And you're just like, all right, I'm just going to go pro Genji. And then we were doing something and then you hit dash and just like dashed off the side and killed yourself.
But I killed someone with me at the same time.
You killed the guy and then like fell to your death. And it was like most pro Genji play of all time. Amazing.
Yeah. No, I'm just bad at shooters. I wish I was good at them. I'm just not.
Pineapple on pizza. Yes or no?
No, never.
Ketchup on hot dogs. Yes or no?
Dealer's choice. I mean, like, I'm not going to talk down. I like a Chicago style dog, but if you want ketchup on your hot dog, that's fine.
You're not gonna ostracize somebody for
liking
ketchup on a hot dog. So if there was a fight between one horse-sized duck and 100 duck-sized horses, who would win?
I would say the 100 duck-sized horses, but if you switch that with geese, I would say the one giant goose would have won.
Dude, geese are mean.
I know. Just the no talk, terrifying.
I'm convinced that geese are descended directly from dinosaurs because
they hold no grudge. They hold no, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
I think they have no remorse is the word.
They have absolutely no remorse, but they also like they don't care who you are, what you are, or what you're doing. They'll still fuck you up.
It's true. You could just be cat walking, mind your own business, and a goose will just come out of nowhere.
Absolutely.
It looks like you're having too good of a day. You just honk and fuck you up.
They'll be like, you look like you're having too good of a day, so I'm going to fuck you up. Or they might be like, you look like you're not having good enough of a day, so I'm going to fuck you up. Like, it doesn't matter.
It's like, oh, you look like you're having a terrible day. Let me just pile more shit on there if I possibly could. Definitely. So say we're all of a sudden transported to an era where dinosaurs still exist.
Okay.
And say in the same era that sharks have evolved the ability to walk on land, how many land sharks would it take to defeat a T-Rex?
That's a good question.
There's a lot to consider when you really start to think about it.
Are they great whites?
Yeah, they could be great whites.
So we're going to go with great whites. Okay.
The strongest shark versus the strongest dinosaur. Well, I mean, I guess that's up for debate, but
yeah. I think six could do the job.
Six,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about it. Like, the T-Rex has the short arms thing going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm just imagining, you know, if the sharks did grow legs, that they'd just be big, beefy, like, muscular gym legs.
They'd be street sharks, dude.
You're right.
They'd be wearing 100%. The cutoff jeans, like.
I remember I had Velcro street sharks shoes when I was growing up, like little sneakers.
Yeah, I'm disappointed you still don't have those.
I should. We should bring them back for sure. Didn't one of the street sharks wear, like a cutoff jean jacket?
Remember. He did.
like where it was cut off at the sleeve so his muscles could be up. It was just a jean jacket that was open on the front.
They're just like bad motherfuckers.
wait, I gotta look it up now. Just had to throw street sharks at me from out of right field.
Dude, street sharks are always an option, I guess. Like, you should always be aware of the fact that there might be street sharks.
So no, there were only three. I don't know. I was imagining the jean jacket guy. So there were just three of them. One was like a blue shark with like black pants and red shoes. One was like a brown shark with white pants and white shoes, and then the other one had rollerblades. It looks like as a blue shark had rollerblades. That's the most 90s thing ever.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, at least, is he wearing knee pads?
He might be wearing knee pads. It's a strong possibility. Oh my god, that might be. I never realized how 90s that show was. Holy cow, that's insane. I feel like if anything needs an HD reboot, it's that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They can just do it kind of how they had the Animaniacs. They could wake up like 30 years later and they'd be like, what's this new world we're in? And then instead of, you know, having rollerblades, the one shark could have like a hoverboard or something. I don't know.
And instead of being sharks, they could just be guys with guns.
Make it rated M, put it on Amazon Prime.
It'll just be called Lone Sharks.
Just Lone Sharks. Where's my money? You have like one of the sharks can be voiced by Walter White.
Oh man.
The doctor's name is Dr. Paranoid.
like a piranha?
Yeah, it's just a ball guy with a trench coat.
It's great. It's like the least doctor attire I could think of.
Right? It's like he's not a real doctor at all.
I bet he's a doctor. I bet he's like he's got like a doctorate in like fine arts.
He's a doctor the same way like Dr. Doom is a doctor.
Yeah exactly. So, like not that like you're less of a doctor if you have a doctorate in fine arts. It's just like I don't think someone with a doctorate in fine arts should be creating genetically modified sharks. That's just my thing probably
not. I mean, leave that to someone that has a doctorate in like genetics or something.
Yeah, exactly. So. Like that's it. Like I still think you put in a lot of work if you have a doctorate in fine arts, and I respect the shit out of that, but just don't make genetically modified marks or sharks
that end up rollerblading for the worst.
I'm just impressed by that. Like he saw that like maybe running isn't optimal, and he decided to rollerblade, and the other sharks didn't.
Right. And the other sharks were just still too amazed that they could like walk on land now. But he's like taking it up a level. He's like, nah, I want to go further.
We're going to blade
all the time. Okay. So if you could pick any game to have like a remake or a remaster or to bring it into the 21st century, what would it be?
I mean, we already touched base on this Final Fantasy 9,
100%. I was wondering if it would be 9. Would you want them to do 9 kind of how they did 7 Remake? Or
I want them to put it all in one game instead of releasing it in sections like they're doing with the 7 Remake. But yeah, like updated graphics, updated gameplay, same general story, but just like everything better. Coming in second, I'll say Cyberpunk 2077.
You're not wrong. If they could remove the feature where people's dicks are just clipping through their pants, that would be incredible. I mean,
okay, we're on different pages here. I was going to say if they can make that a feature for everybody, then it would be incredible.
Just running around and the NPC's just like, dude, like you just know it's out, right?
You're just like, what? You're just hanging dong, like no remorse either.
I mean, that game looks really nice on PC. Everybody else, not so much.
Okay, so I have a pretty souped up PC and I'm playing it and I'm having a lot of fun. I think it's great. There's been a couple bugs, nothing like game breaking or like major problems. You know, like I think like one mission we went to get on motorcycles and like the NPC I was with like walked over to nothing and like straddled the air like it was a motorcycle and just like took off. You know, like, so there's like little bugs like that. But I mean, like, can you, like, everyone was shitting on CD Projekt Red that like they keep pushing the game back. And it's like, okay, well, what do you want? Do you want like a buggy, unfinished game, or do you want it out right now?
Right. I mean, the pressure and the hype to get that game out was so intense, especially during the year when everyone was working from home.
Yeah.
And that game is so huge. There's so many moving parts to it. You just knew it's like, well, if they're just going to get pressured into releasing it for the holiday, you knew something bad is going to get No Man's Sky or something like that. I mean, so I'll probably pick it up when they fix it in like 6 months.
Like I said, I'm playing it on PC and I think it's great. They have updates planned and they have, they're going to patch things and fix things.
I just want to say, how do you know that the invisible bike isn't a feature? How do you know you can't just unlock invisible vehicles?
I'm gonna say that it isn't, because there was a motorcycle next to them where they were supposed to get on and they chose to not use that.
So you're saying like they got on the actual motorcycle and just rode away without it?
I'm saying like the motorcycle was like 3 feet away from where they straddled the air and rode off.
That's
like they walked towards the motorcycle and then stopped early and got on air and just drove away.
It's like me if I've been drinking at the club, like trying to find my car at 3 a.m. in the morning. I just pretend to get in it. I just fall on the ground. Just like, Eric, are you okay? No, I'm not okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just trying to get home.
How more amazed at me would you be if I actually like drove off?
Yeah.
Just be like, what? And then I don't know if you saw the latest glitch, but after they did the initial patch of that game, now the thing is when people are driving, if you go into third person mode, like the character model is T-posing outside the hood of the car.
No, that sounds amazing.
And the person's butt is hanging out like while they're like T-posing. So you're just driving around like sticking out of the top of the car in like a T-pose and with your butt hanging out.
That sounds amazing, honestly.
That's honestly maybe the way everyone should drive.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems very aerodynamic. So, okay, well, we covered everything I want to. Is there anything else you want to touch on while you're on? You want to promote some of your stuff or?
I'll plug rematchtheband.com. You could buy merch there. We got our music streaming there, music videos. You can follow us on any of our socials. Most of it's Rematch the Band. If you just look up Rematch on Facebook, that's where we're at. The Side Questing podcast is getting a second episode, which is exciting. We weren't sure if that was going to happen because you found out about the names. Other podcasts named the same thing very shortly after, but you know, we made it to two. This is exciting. I'm excited for you.
Well, my hope is that everybody just kind of gives up and on theirs, and I can just keep the name. So I mean,
I feel you. I feel you. We shouldn't. I mean, we should just threaten them.
Just like, send a fancy like legal class action like lawsuit letter.
I mean, like, can't you put in like a trademark or something?
I probably could, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. We did that with Rematch, and I had to bully someone to not use the name.
It's not that big of a deal. If I have a couple other good names, and if I had to change the name, we use Anchor, which is with Spotify. All I have to do is change the name, update the art, and it'll update every single episode. So okay. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'll just have to redact the audio with like, I don't know, Siri voiceover or something.
Maybe. No, what you should do is you should go on. Have you ever seen Cameo?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so Cameo is like a website or an app where you can hire like actors or pro athletes or like different people to like give a shout out to you or say whatever message you want them to say. So you should update it. Like you should get Gilbert Godfrey to say like whatever the new name is and then just like drop that audio in.
That would be incredible. Well, I already have the most famous person I know saying name my podcast. So, I mean, what more could I possibly want?
Well, Gilbert Godfrey, but yeah.
You're right. I think I'm just going to persevere and just see if everybody else will give up because I learned perseverance from the most persevering man I've ever met you. This is a man that had a staring contest with Slender Man and won.
Oh, man, that was like the greatest half hour of my life.
We were at C2E2. I think it was like 2016.
Maybe 2017. And,
we spent the whole day making fun of Cameron because he bought a sword at the start and had to carry it around. Carry it around for 8 hours.
Yeah, it was a gunblade, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So he's just carrying around a gunblade for 8 hours. And then I don't know what the exact scenario happened, but we were just kind of standing there. And I think we were in the group and the Slender Man just started to like approach.
Yeah. He walked up to us and started staring at us. And like we were with Anna and one of her friends and like some other people. And they were like, wow, he's being creepy. He's just staring at us. And I'm like, you know what? There's only one thing to do. We just stare back. So I just stared back at him. And like, it was like literally like 20 or 30 minutes. And then finally he shook his head, walked over and shook my hand and walked away.
You might be the only person alive to have survived an encounter with Slender Man. I mean, very impressive.
I don't know if being that stubborn is good or bad, but it exists. So
that time it worked out for you. So, I mean,
that's 20 minutes. I'll never get back. But yeah,
It's a good story, though. So it was definitely worth it. So, okay. So you can find Rematch at all those places anywhere else. Anything else?
No, I think that's about it. You know, check us out on wherever you stream music. And yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, awesome, man. I really appreciate you coming on. I had about 1:15 blocked out for this before my pup starts getting, he runs out of peanut butter and starts getting a little crazy. So
yeah. No, I get it.
So I appreciate you coming on and talking, man. I really do.
I appreciate you having me.
And I will definitely ask you to come on again in the future.
Yeah. Maybe wait an episode or two.
Just like my guest today, it's like it's been one episode. Yeah. Oh, it's been so long since you came on.
Oh, dude, it's great to hear from you. It's been so long. How are you doing? Like, you know, a lot has changed.
Right. Like all two things. Right. So, all right, man. Well, like I said, I really appreciate it. yeah, let's go listen to the rematch. Do it. If you don't, we'll find you.
In the Wunder bread truck.
If you see a bread truck that's suspiciously German pull up outside your house, you'll know that
you're made a mistake. Turn on rematch or run.
Yeah, right. It'll be like, you know, in old school when they're getting people for the sorority and they're just driving around in the black van real everywhere, like really fast, like jumping curbs and like drifting across people's lawns, abducting people.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be like that. But not really. No, actually, really. So. All right, man. Thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, thanks. I bet you wrote a bad poem about me. Bet you're always at home, lonely. I know because you said so, you told me. You never write a bad poem, so please. Don't cry for me now. Let me get this right. We're gonna start it up, then you backtrack, leave me at the green light. I bet you won't call it quits, cause you're full of shit in the graveyard. Cause you will write it down, but won't call it out. I know it's so hard. I know it's so hard. So tell me how you think. You never let me in. Bet you wrote a bad poem about me. Bet you're always at home, lonely. I know because you said so, you told me. You never had a backbone, so please. Don't cry for me now. You won't cry for me. Words out, you're sick and twisted. Crooked teeth and you never listen. But I've got tunnel vision. And now I'm on a mission. Just to tear you apart with every word that I say. Cause I gave you my heart. Bet you're always at home, lonely. I know because you said so, you told me. You never had a backbone, so please. Don't cry for me now. You won't cry for me. You wrote a bad poem about me. Bet you're always at home, lonely. I know because you said so, you told me. You never had a backbone. Bet you wrote a bad poem about me. Bet you're always at home, lonely. I know because you said so, you told me. You never had a backbone, so please.